Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Here's your money briefing for Wednesday, November 23rd. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. The holiday season marks a big test for the nation's airports.
Really what matters in the end to travelers is, you know, no amount of New York bagels is going to keep passengers happy if they're stuck at the airport for hours.
So what are airports doing to improve customer service and get you to where you're going? We'll talk with WSJ travel columnist Dawn Gilbertson about The Wall Street Journal's rankings for the nation's best and worst airports after the break.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all new Bumble with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Transportation Security Administration expects travel volumes this week could approach pre-pandemic levels, with 2.5 million passengers or more passing through U.S. airports on the busiest days. So which of the nation's airports are best prepared to handle the crowds and keep passengers happy? Dawn Gilbertson writes the carry-on travel column for The Wall Street Journal, and she joins us with the WSJ's rankings of the best and worst airports. Hey, Dawn, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me again.
So, you know, Dawn, it seems like the nation's airports always come under the spotlight at this time of the year. This holiday season is a big test for the airports when you consider the chronic delays and the mishaps that happened over the summer.
Yeah, I mean, anybody who flew, you know, say early in the summer, you know, saw the mess and all the headlines that, delays at airports, lost luggage, worker shortages. So airlines have been working around the clock to add employees. And we're talking thousands of employees, in some cases at individual airlines. So they say they're ready.
So how'd you go about ranking the airports? What was most important?
Well, we have 19 metrics in our rankings. And by the way, this is the first time we have done the airport rankings since before the pandemic. So the last one was in 2019. So 19 factors from on-time arrivals to the price of an Uber to even the price of a bottle of water. The most important factor that we used this year was reliability. 9 of the metrics are things that really matter to travelers. You know, that everything about, you know, getting in and out of the airport on time in terms of your flights.
All right, well, let's end the suspense. Which airport came out on top?
Well, in the major airport category, so it's the 20 busiest airports, the winner might surprise people. It's the San Francisco International Airport. You know, anybody who's traveled through there may have been, you know, hit by a fog delay over the years, but San Francisco really, really shined in on-time performance. I mean, our top three were San Francisco, Atlanta, and Minneapolis. And what Atlanta and Minneapolis did well was the same thing that landed San Francisco at the top. Their flights were on time, and they scored really well in customer satisfaction. And the metric we use for that is the J.D. Power Customer Satisfaction Survey for airports.
Now, in the rankings, we see that reliability matters the most to passengers, and it carries the most weight among all the data. What propelled San Francisco to the top of that category?
The number one factor by a wide margin is the fact that San Francisco is not yet back to pre-pandemic levels in terms of flights and passenger volumes. And that is mainly due to two reasons. Number one, they have a lot of trans-Pacific flights. And, you know, much of a lot of Asia is still closed, so those flights have not come back. Number two, they're a huge tech hub. And technology companies have not brought their business travel back, and they certainly aren't like to anytime soon, given the layoffs we've seen lately. To San Francisco's credit, it's not just the fact that they have fewer passengers and fewer flights. The airport has spent a lot of money and time in the past several years investing in GPS technology and also adopting new FAA procedures that basically allow them to land more planes in bad weather.
All right. And so at the bottom of the list, which airports didn't do so well?
Among the big airports, the major airports, the busiest airports, the losers will not surprise anybody. Newark is at the bottom, and just above it is JFK. Well, the problem is chronic delays, right? One issue that, you know, has been front and center this summer has just been this debate over whether Newark has too many flights, you know, many more flights than they can handle. United CEO Scott Kirby has been saying they have way too many. The FAA and the airport say, you know, they're all working together to kind of manage the situation. So, you know, it's kind of a to be determined situation. But one bright spot for Newark for sure is, you know, they are about to debut a new terminal on December 8th. And people that have seen it say it's pretty swank.
And how about some of the smaller regional airports? How'd they do?
Actually, the three California airports top the list of the of our mid-size airports. And number one on that list was Sacramento. And Sacramento, you know, 90 miles northeast of San Francisco. And they, I spoke to the airport director there. It has a nice feel when you go through Sacramento. You know, it doesn't, you just don't feel overwhelmed by it. There's a lot of artwork. But one thing that intrigued me when I talked to the airport director was, you know, that they've really stepped up their customer service. And they've even asked landscapers, you know, working the airport grounds to help direct passengers as they go by. And she says they get regular passenger compliments on this.
Oh, so it's like an all hands on deck thing.
Exactly.
You know, Dawn, clearly the airports have a lot of moving parts in motion, but it all comes down to customer satisfaction and travelers being able to take off and land on time. How important is customer satisfaction to airports?
I mean, airports are huge economic engines in their communities. And, you know, our economy wouldn't operate. I mean, just look back to, you know, the early days of the pandemic. You know, we couldn't get places. But the thing is, you know, customer satisfaction is very important. It's so nice to have, you know, local restaurants and the latest shops and so forth. But really what matters in the end to travelers is, you know, no amount of New York bagels is going to keep passengers happy if they're stuck at the airport for hours.
Anything else from the rankings stand out?
You know, one thing we have to keep in mind here is that airline industry is effectively graded on a curve. You know, the Department of Transportation defines an on-time flight as one that's no more than 15 minutes late. You know, I mean, that wouldn't work in the military, for instance. And another thing is that, you know, an airline can shine in reliability, but still not do too well in other areas. And one of the great examples there is San Francisco. They ranked really low in value because their average domestic airfares are among the highest in the country. And, you know, you contrast that with, you know, Fort Lauderdale was one of our worst performing major airports overall, but they did really, really well when it came to value. So they were dinged big time for late flights, but then they scored points for having cheaper flights. And as anybody who's gone to Florida knows, it's just a hub of budget airlines and competition. So that drives prices down, and that's good for travelers.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal travel columnist Dawn Gilbertson. Dawn, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks very much for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.